Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Politico is reporting that Republican Senate Majority Leader John Thune says the only way to reopen the government is for Democrats to agree to two packages of spending bills, and that could take at least a week. Republicans are still refusing to extend health insurance subsidies, and that is why Democrats say they will not budge. As this continues, millions of people across the country are struggling to make ends meet, and they're very afraid of what's to come as funding for SNAP, heating bills, and childcare is scheduled to end on Saturday, November 1st. We are going to share resources throughout the show because we're hearing from people who really do not know how they are going to pay their bills and put enough food on the table. If you live in California, you can call 211 to be connected to resources. That is 211. The city of San Francisco will cover SNAP payments for the month of November. Be sure to check your mail next week, and we'll talk about that on today's show. But as the San Francisco Chronicle reports, the rest of the Bay Area is panicking. Food banks say this is unprecedented and they cannot keep up. That said, a number of restaurants in the Bay Area and Northern California are offering free and discounted meals. And you can find all of these resources at kalw.org. Click news and your call. And if you'd like to call in, if you have a comment about all of this, if you are afraid that you're not going to be able to pay your bills, I mean, we're talking about food stamps. We're talking about the heating bills. There's federal funding for heating bills that's going to end. And then kids that are in Head Start, that funding is all going to end on Saturday. So if you have any comments, if you need resources or you have resources you'd like to share, please give us a call because I really want to spend this time to let people know where they can go for help, because there's just a lot of anxiety out there right now. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. And we want to highlight a few of the stories that we've been hearing of people who are struggling. Jack Chris is a single dad. He has been an air traffic controller for 16 years, and he is working for DoorDash to help pay for his daughter's high school tuition. He spoke with CBS Saturday morning and he broke down when he was asked how stressful the situation is.
How stressful is life right now with this shutdown?
Yeah, man. It's been incredibly difficult. You can feel the tension, and it's heavy and it hurts.
As the government shutdown rolls into its 25th day, Congress remains unable to make a deal.
She tipped $2 this.
Chris says he's tapped his retirement funds and taken out a high-interest short-term loan to make sure he has the cash to weather a long shutdown.
From the standpoint of a single working dad, how is all of this impacting life at home?
That's a great question. It's hard enough just going to work. Now when you add in not getting paid, that's when you just like multiply the level of pressure. Air traffic is a safety sensitive position. The margin of error is zero. So if you think about it, it's pressure on top of pressure when you don't know exactly when you'll get paid based on politics.
Jack Chris has been interviewed on many media outlets and on News Nation. He said he's dealing with anxiety because the new and the younger people who he works with have no idea what to do. They've got bills to pay. They've got mortgages, kids to feed. And then he said the Department of Transportation is dealing with staffing shortages because of the shutdown. People are just not getting their checks. And then here's another story. MSNBC spoke with a woman who lost her job with USAID and a man who has been furloughed.
It's finding ways to make ends meet. Grateful for any sort of assistance programs. We're on WIC for my daughter, who's 13 months old, to get her formula and food. I'm showing up to food banks when I can. We're applying to jobs constantly. Our unemployment just ran out, so now we have no income coming in.
This is my first time visiting a food bank in my entire life. I've never had the need to do so in the past, but times change, and I'm in a moment or in a place where this is where I'm at.
The man you heard is a government worker who's been furloughed, and then the woman lost her job with USAID. So it's so important to also talk about all of the government employees who lost their jobs, who are also struggling to make ends meet. Now, the USDA says there are no funds because of the shutdown, and contingency funds are not a legal option to continue the program. So many people have been calling on the Trump administration to allow the USDA to release those funds. They say it's not possible. But here is California Attorney General Rob Bonta responding.
It's a lie. The well has up to $6 billion ready to be tapped into. Trump and his administration are willing to put more than 41 million Americans at risk of hunger, at risk of food insecurity.
That was California Attorney General Rob Bonta. If you'd like to join us, if you are in need of assistance, or if you know of organizations and restaurants offering assistance, and then if you have any overall thoughts about where we are right now, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Today, we're joined by Paul Bowden, Executive Director of the Western Regional Advocacy Project, a coalition of organizations across the West Coast dedicated to exposing and eliminating the root causes of homelessness and poverty. Paul is founding member of Street Sheet. That's an independent street newspaper dedicated to covering issues of homelessness and poverty in San Francisco. He served as executive director of the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness for 16 years. And is the author of House Keys, Not Handcuffs. It's a reflection on over 30 years of serving at homeless organizations in San Francisco. And Paul has personal experience with these issues. Hi, Paul. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Hey, Rose. Good to talk to you again.
Great to have you. We're also joined today by Andrew Shane, Managing Director of Public Policy for End Child Poverty California. They advocate for strategies that address the causes of poverty and solutions proven to transform lives. Previously, Andrew was SNAP Deputy Director for the Food Research and Action Center, so he has a lot of experience with SNAP and these issues. Hi, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we're joined by Lindsay Allen, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and Health Economist and Policy Researcher at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. And I want to thank Stats Sarah Todd, who wrote a piece called When SNAP Benefits Run Out, People Can Die, Say Health Experts. One of those experts is Lindsay Allen, who says people are going to go hungry very quickly, and then their health is going to deteriorate. Even if they're cut off from benefits only temporarily, they may get evicted or have their power shut off or skip medications in the meantime. So that's how we found Lindsay. And thank you so much for your work, Lindsay, and thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rose.
Lindsay, this is such a devastating headline, and it really deserves more attention. When SNAP benefits run out, people can die. Can you talk to us about just how crucial these benefits are for millions of people across the country?
Absolutely. So we know that even though we might be talking about what seems like just a month worth of benefits that people aren't going to be getting, we're not paying enough attention to what sort of hard decisions families are going to have to make within the month of November to try and keep their bellies full. We're going to see families making really tough choices about, do we pay for medication this month? Do we pay our rent this month? There are so many possible ways that things can go wrong when you are forcing families to decide between food and other necessities for life.
And can you talk more just about the compound effect of this? Because I just think about where we were before COVID, when poverty was on the rise. And then to think that during COVID, benefits increased. And I remember reading so many stories about people who said, I can finally take my kids out to lunch. I can finally put enough food on the table. I'll never forget the picture of a woman on NPR who was able to finally buy fresh fruits and vegetables, and her nails looked healthier. Mm. And then to think it was taken all away, and now it's just worse. So what's the compounding effect of all of this?
Oh, it's the effects are going to be devastating. And so we're concerned not only with the food that isn't going to be on people's tables. We're concerned about what happens when kids go to school hungry and they're not able to focus on what's happening in the classroom. Same with adults. Adults are going to be missing meals so that they can feed their kiddos. We're going to have adults that are heading into the workplace because by and large, most SNAP enrollees are in the workforce. We're going to see them headed there and they're not going to be able to focus on their jobs. In general, we know that SNAP is an economic engine that lifts people out of poverty and allows them to be productive members of this economy. So we're going to see those effects ripple through the economy. And also, one thing that I'm not hearing enough people talk about is the fact that those $8 billion worth of SNAP benefits are not going to be hitting local economies. So $8 billion in 1 month headed into the holidays, that's a lot of money that is going to affect local mom and pop grocery stores, farmers markets. This is going to have rippling effects farther than we are really considering right now.
Right. And if you live in San Francisco, Mayor Daniel Lurie announced yesterday that the 112,000 city residents who use SNAP, again, just in San Francisco, we're talking about 112,000 people who use SNAP. They will have their benefits covered by gift cards that the city is preparing to distribute through what the Chronicle's calling an $18 million public-private partnership. Half of the money is going to come from the government. Half is going to come from what's called the Crankstart Foundation. This is a foundation of wealthy venture capitalist Michael Moritz, according to the Chronicle. So this is how it's going to work. In the middle of next week, all San Francisco residents who use SNAP will receive something in the mail providing a QR code that will let them download the gift card digitally or request that a physical one be mailed to them. And Paul, the thing that I was thinking about is, I mean, my mom has a hard time with QR codes. A lot of people don't know how to use this technology. So how are people, and also just getting the word out, you know, to people who don't speak English, for example, what are you hearing out there about people getting access to SNAP in San Francisco for the month of November?
Specifically about SNAP, I mean, it's basically what the city is putting out in terms of how you can respond, and the food banks expanding and the food programs like Glide and them trying to increase, you know, whatever they can do. But it's all a scramble. And you look at the Medicaid cuts that are coming with it and the TANF cuts, and like, this is across the board. The HUD cuts are going to be brutal. So I think we all need to like step back a second and look at the total picture of what's coming down our way. You know, when you think back to when we first opened our shelter programs, that was the Reagan Revolution. And then in the 90s, we used to call SNAP food stamps, and TANF was aid to families with dependent children. It wasn't that long ago, under the Clinton-Gingrich machinations in the 90s, when these programs that are being cut now were cut then by thousands of people. The Social Security Disability Program, that was massively cut. And in San Francisco, they expanded access to legal representation so people could appeal it as a reaction to it. But they didn't do the systemic work to get Congress to actually address the social welfare issues of people that are poor in this country. And so we've seen a continued disinvestment and destruction. 500,000 units of public housing have been torn down in the last 25 years. Mm. This has been building up for a while, and we need to do mutual aid for each other and caring for each other. But we also need to realize we got to organize like our lives depend on it, because they absolutely do.
I'm glad you brought up Medicaid, Paul, because like you said, there's so much here to talk about. So over 10 years, because of this Republican budget, Medicaid will lose $930 billion. Medicare will lose $500. And again, Paul, looking at the big picture, these numbers should be repeated. You've got, according to the Poor People's Campaign, 140 million people in this country who are poor and low wealth. And then if you look at the Bay Area, a new report just came out in May about how in some cities, it's hard for people to make ends meet even when they make six figures because it's so expensive in the Bay Area. So would you also like to jump in here, Andrew? You're with End Child Poverty California. What do we need to be focusing on when you step back and look at the big picture? And then we really want to let people know just how to get their basic needs met right now.
Yeah, thanks for the question. And I think the conversation has framed this up pretty well, that this is really the total failure of the federal government. We are looking at a shutdown situation that is coming, you know, just months after the president signed H.R. 1, that many of us call the big ugly bill that has historic cuts to healthcare, to food assistance itself. And as the attorney general, as you know, quoted him, the USDA is putting out blatant falsehoods that they don't have the money or that they're unable to pay SNAP benefits when their own plan, which they removed from the internet conveniently last week, but their own plan as of last week was to just do that, to use the funds that they have available. So everyone needs to call on the USDA to do their job, to direct states to issue these benefits. But it's important to understand that even if that were to happen, and I hope it happens today, that it will take states like California and every state some time to then follow that direction and issue the benefits. And in the meantime, to your point, we have schools preparing to celebrate Halloween tomorrow by setting up share tables, by setting up backpacks and pantries, because children and families are going to start to go hungry on Saturday. And as Dr. Allen put it already, right, most families have already exhausted their benefits. They're not adequate to make it through the month. And so that start of the new month without those resources is even more devastating. If folks are in need of food, the best single response is to call 211. You can go visit your local food bank. If you don't know how to contact them, you can contact the California Association of Food Banks. Their website is cafoodbanks.org. They have a food finder, but there is just no way that the charitable response, the restaurants, as you mentioned, that is so needed and so inspiring. But a key statistic is that for every meal provided through charity, food stamps, CalFresh, it provides 9. So there is just no making up the order of magnitude of loss that this is going to mean. And we know that even a brief period of hunger for children has lifelong consequences for their brain development. It literally affects how their brains are able to develop because of both the toxic stress and those physical ramifications of hunger. We've just never gone through anything like this.
Oh, what can you tell us, Andrew, about child poverty in California? I just think a lot about the changes we saw under COVID. And it showed that government does have the ability to ensure that people can at least have the basics at a time when people are making such low wages, and yet that was taken away. So when you look back during what changed in the middle of COVID and then how those additional benefits were taken away and where we are now, how has that all affected children in California?
Yeah, you laid it out very well. It's really very hard to wrap your head around the fact that when you say a line like poverty is a policy choice, it actually is true. As you're speaking to just a few years ago with the enhanced child tax credit, with the what were called emergency allotments, those supplements to the CalFresh benefits, so that the benefits actually lasted the month. We cut child poverty in half and were on a pathway to eliminate it. We were following the evidence that these interventions boost families' purchasing power, help them make ends meet, that does not take any responsibility away for the need for living wages, for paid family leave, for these broader policies that you're talking about. But in tandem, we were marching toward that future we know is possible. And yet, as those were allowed to expire, as these additional cuts have happened, we've now seen child poverty go from 7.5% in 2021 to 18.6%. So nearly tripled. Wow. in just a couple of years. And yet, CalFresh food stamps has been the number one way to lift children and families out of poverty by boosting families' grocery budgets, helping prevent those trade-offs. You know, there's a saying that the rent eats first, right? There is no sort of substitute like a food bank for your rent. But now, as has been spoken to, not only are those choices not being able to happen for families, they're facing multiple cuts. Their Head Start funding is going away, their health insurance is being taken away, and their food assistance, the heating payments. And so all of those trade-offs and all of those impacts on families far up the income scale are being compounded.
Mm. Gosh, those numbers are devastating.
And you know, with those kids, I mean, you're seeing, and we have since welfare reform, but especially in the last 10 years or so, a massive increase of homeless families. Mm. So not only are they losing their food stamps, they already have lost their housing. And that's going to continue to grow. And that's where it's like we have to look at this systemically. If we can afford massive tax breaks for the richest people in the country who are getting increased income phenomenally, we can sure as hell afford to make sure kids are eating and have a decent place to live.
And to your point, Paul, I mean, just to add one more layer on this, I'm reading from Mission Local right now, Marina Newman. San Francisco's RV parking ban will begin on Saturday. RV dwellers who say they qualify for the city's six-month extension are facing the prospect of being towed if they park on any street for more than 2 hours, including overnight. So people are going to lose all these benefits, and then they might get towed if they're living in an RV in San Francisco.
Local governments are going hog wild on, well, we can't get Trump to not do it, so we're going to mitigate the presence of homeless people. We're going to get rid of homeless people, because if people don't see us out in the street, then we don't have a homeless problem. That's obviously not true, but it is the more and more the response. Lori's putting all of these resources into going after people that are selling stuff out on the street, you know, street vendors. And militarizing 16th Street and Civic Center and the Tenderloin. And Trump just called out, is put out an order for rapid response units in our military to go into local cities. They know that this is going to have a dramatic impact and that people are going to die, and therefore people are going to get really upset. Their response is to militarize and to try to control us, just like any other neoliberal fascist country in the world.
And to your point, Paul, about taxes, I just want to share a couple numbers that are just out recently. So this is from the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Because Trump brought down the corporate tax rate, which was really unprecedented. I mean, the George W. Bush administration couldn't even do this. Corporate income taxes for the fiscal year that ended in September are $77 billion lower than the previous year. That's just 1 year, $77 billion. So you've got AT&T, Lockheed Martin, MGM reports. A number of these companies are just paying much less in corporate taxes than they did even a year ago. And then Americans for Tax Fairness came out with this tweet a couple days ago. Billionaires in America now own a record $8 trillion in wealth. That's up $5 trillion since Trump passed tax breaks for the rich in 2017. And Lindsay, like Paul and Andrew said, these are all policy choices. And I think what's so devastating about where we are right now, this is hitting so many people across the board. I mean, we're talking people who are on the streets, low-income people, people who worked for the government and made a decent wage because they're not getting their checks. So there are now more people needing help at the same time.
Yes, that is true. These are all policy choices. It would be very easy for the government to solve this today, immediately. And we're not hopeful at this point. And I think that even if we were to get SNAP resolved today, my fellow panelists have talked about the other policy changes that are all hitting right now. So if we just pass a continuing resolution and as a stopgap until January, we're going to be right here in 2 months. We're going to be exactly at the same place where we were. And so we need to focus on if we want the government to act, we need to consider what the trade-offs are going to be. There's so much contention around this shutdown in general, but specifically about how we're using health and food as bargaining chips. We are playing around with people's lives here in political theater. So I do believe that the USDA could come out and they could change their stance. They are taking a very narrow stance compared to what they've done in the past about their authority to use that contingency fund. I think they have a real opportunity to step up and to indicate to the American people that we are not last on their list. I mean, it's very clear that this administration has the billionaires, at top of mind, but it is on all of us to make those calls for the USDA to release those funds.
Well, and you have to wonder what's going on with the Trump administration and Republicans. Who's making these decisions? The Atlantic has a piece called "The Government is Closed. The President is MIA. Trump has been busy with everything but the government shutdown. He's overseas right now, and the Republicans say they're not going to budge. Democrats say they're not going to budge because they want those healthcare premium tax credits. If that does not come through, healthcare premiums for many people are going to double or in some cases triple. And we should also say, here's a headline from the Chronicle from earlier this month. California leads the nation in this poverty measure, and San Francisco's is even higher. An average of 18% of Californians, that's 7 million people, experienced poverty from 2022 to 2024. The city of San Francisco's rate is even higher at 20%. We need to talk more about this. So many people are struggling in this area. And right now it's just worse. I mean, this was before this shutdown even happened that these numbers were so high. So if you'd like to join us, if you're really trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet and you want to share your story, if you'd like to talk about resources, if you want to talk about the big picture about how we got to this place just years after we saw so many more benefits during COVID, we saw what government could actually do. And then it was just taken from people. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Lindsay Allen is Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and Health Economist at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. She says this is so serious because people could go hungry very quickly and then their health will deteriorate. Andrew Shane is Managing Director of Public Policy for End Child Poverty California. They advocate for strategies that address the causes of poverty and solutions to transform people's lives. Paul Bowden is Executive Director of the Western Regional Advocacy Project. It's a coalition of organizations that expose and eliminate the root causes of homelessness and poverty. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Be sure to get your ballots in for the Prop 50 measure early. Early voting is actually pretty big in many cities across California, and voting officials say it's very important to try to get your ballot in early. And we'll be doing shows about this next week. And we'll also continue to do shows about the government shutdown. That's what we're talking about today. So Politico is reporting that Republican Senate Majority Leader John Thune said Democrats have to agree to two packages of spending bills to reopen the government, and that could take at least a week. Democrats are saying they won't budge until Republicans extend health insurance subsidies. And as this continues, millions of people are struggling to make ends meet. Think about the government employees who lost their jobs, and then the employees who've been furloughed. They're having a hard time finding work. And then people on food stamps, people who rely on funding to pay their heating bills, Head Start and child care, that funding is scheduled to end on Saturday, November 1st. So if you live in California, you can call 211 to be connected to resources. That's 211. And then San Francisco Mayor Daniel Lurie said that SNAP will continue for San Franciscans in November. Look for a piece of mail next week. And there's a QR code on there. I'm wondering, and we're trying to get answers here. I'm thinking that you'll be able to call 211 if you don't have a computer or you don't use QR codes, because they said there are alternatives for those who don't want to use the QR code, but we want to get that confirmed. So we're looking for that information right now. But be sure to spread the word to anybody who gets SNAP in San Francisco. You will be receiving a piece of mail next week to let you know how these benefits continue. And in the meantime, food banks are trying to keep up. Restaurants say that they're going to be offering free and discounted meals. And you can find a number of resources at KALW.org, click news, and your call. As Paul Bowden says, this is all a Band-Aid. And I mean, we need major, major policy changes to deal with all of this. Paul Bowden is executive director of the Western Regional Advocacy Project. Andrew Shane is managing director of public policy for End Child Poverty California. Lindsay Allen is assistant professor of emergency medicine and a health economist and policy researcher at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. You can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Someone called in and said a lot of poor people do not have computers. And that is why we're trying to get this answer about what will happen in San Francisco with SNAP benefits. So we're on that, and we hope to get an answer by the end of the show. Let's go to Emily in San Francisco. Hi, Emily. Welcome to your call.
Hi, I'm sorry. The person misunderstood. My name is Elizabeth from San Francisco.
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. Sorry about that.
I am very, very happy that your guest, Paul, mentioned the very important root causes of this. When people are in emergency mode, we forget to look at the big picture and how we got here. You know, while our tax dollars are being used to cut billionaires' taxes and to actually starve 2 million people in Gaza by giving our money to Israel, we are now suffering the consequences of also basically starvation as a weapon against the poor. And I'm also glad that Paul mentioned the issue of militarization, because obviously our money is also going to feed and has been doing so, not only during the Trump administration, but also during the Democratic administrations. Clinton, in particular, made some major changes. He was like the Republicans' wet dream, honestly. And we have to start talking about what role the unions need to be playing in this, because we need to actually ask our unions, and specifically the AFL-CIO, to step up to the plate and call for a general strike. Because the only thing these people understand is when they lose money, and all of us need to stand together and call for a general strike, because that's the only thing that's going to stop them.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We will definitely have union leaders on soon to talk about this very issue. So thank you. I did find an update from CBS News. It's not great information, but we'll stay on this. So you'll get a QR code in San Francisco, and then you can download money onto a card. If you do not want to do that, a physical card will be sent to you. The mayor's office told CBS that they are working on alternative options for people who do not want to use a QR code, don't want to deal with that, or don't know how to do it. They want to make sure that no one is left out, but it looks like they're working on this right now. So we will definitely be on it and bring you the latest information as soon as we hear anything. Let's go next to Peter in San Francisco. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hi. Thanks very much for having the program. And I'm very glad that the mayor has got together something to cover San Franciscans. I hope other governmental agencies will also help out and step in. But the demographics who has the least access to computers. City and County of San Francisco Digital Strategic Plan from about 2019 had a demographic study, and they found poorer people, older people, minorities, and the disabled especially had the very least access to a computer from home. And they didn't talk about cell phones and QR codes, but I'm sure that similar things apply there. So there's a whole list of demographic folks who have less access and will be having presumably a delayed receipt of the benefits. Just something to keep in mind that's important.
Yes, thank you so much for that, Peter. And we will bring you the latest when we learn more from the mayor's office. We're going to get an update now on the federal program that helps people pay their heating bills. Mark Wolf is executive director of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. They are a policy organization for state directors of the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program. Hi, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So can you give us an update? So many people are concerned about how they're going to pay their heating bills if the funding ends on Saturday.
Okay, the situation for LAHEAP, with the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, is a little bit different than the situation for SNAP. So LIHEAP funding normally becomes available to the states in early November. After Congress passes the spending resolution or the continuing resolution, the administration then releases funds to the states. They do it in advance of the full year funding because in the Northeast and the Midwest, winter starts early. So the states need their money early. They can't wait till the full year spending bill is passed. For example, last year, the full year spending bill wasn't passed till March, which was 6 months into the fiscal year. This year could be the same. But the administration cannot release funds unless there's a continuing resolution in place. And that's what's holding things up, because right now the government is shut down. There is no spending bill in place to run the government.
What is the time frame?
So here's the problem. This is the time frame. Once Congress passes a continuing resolution, which hopefully will be soon. I mean, there's obviously major disagreements between the Republicans and the Democrats. But once they pass that bill, let's say it's next week, it's possible. It still takes about 6 weeks to process the money. Mm. There's a whole series of things that has to happen. The federal government has to review state plans for spending the money to make sure that they're in agreement with federal rules. They have to run the funding formula. Then they have to release the funds. The states have to sign people up. There's a number of things that have to happen. That can take about 6 weeks. So that then takes us into the middle of December.
Wow.
Before the states will have the money. And that's if everything works. And here's the problem. The government fired all the program staff in April. No rational reason, they just fired them all. So those are the people that run the programs. Those are the experts that you never see, the quiet people in the background who run the programs. So that could slow things down even more. Mm. This is when you learn, the government's been, the Trump administration's been firing people. No reason, no rationale, 100 here, 1,000 there. But these are the people that have the experience to make sure the gears go, to make sure that the program runs, not just LAHEAP, SNAP, all the other programs are incredibly understaffed right now. And so that's slowing down the gears, slowing down the works. And that's when you really see, what do government officials do?
Right.
They do a lot of day-to-day practical things, and we've lost a lot of those people.
Mm. Gosh, Mark, so what options will people have now that it's starting to get cold and they need help with their heating bills?
Well, we've asked utilities not to shut anybody off now while the government is shut down. To just wait. People get help with energy assistance every year. They will get help. Program funds will be released, but it could be delayed. So for example, there are about 180,000 households in California that get help through LAHEAP. There are 4.9 million households across the country that get energy assistance. And 70% of those families also get SNAP. So if you think of this as almost a war on the poor, there are multiple programs here that help families keep their head above water. And it's SNAP, it's LAHEAP. For families that have a person who's pregnant, WIC, the Women, Infants, and Children's Program, all of these programs help make a major difference in their lives. And this cliff that we're approaching because of the extended shutdown threatens all of those programs.
And one of the points we were making on the show today, Mark, is that there's even more people who are in need right now because they lost their government jobs or they're not getting a government paycheck.
Exactly. So it's another group. You see federal employees who are lining up at food banks. Wow. Federal employees are having trouble getting unemployment compensation. It's unheard of. And then you have the president saying things like, well, maybe we won't pay them for the time they were furloughed. They've always been paid. Whenever we've had a shutdown, federal employees always got paid after the fact. Hopefully that'll happen again, but the president has said maybe not. So you've got a number of things going on that are adding to uncertainty. And the longer this goes on, the more people are affected. I mean, there are certainly lots of well-paid federal employees, but there are lots of federal employees who are in very modest salaries. Right. And those people are at great risk.
Before we let you go, Mark, have you heard from electric and gas companies after asking them not to shut people's power off if they can't afford their bills, given what we're dealing with?
We've heard of a couple that have said they're not going to do it. I believe there are others that are quietly not doing it. They're always afraid that if, say, we're not going to shut you off or threaten you, other people just won't pay their bill. That's something that a lot of utilities believe. A lot of winter shutoff rules start to kick in mid-November. So those are coming. But the biggest concern, and the reason we raised it, was that I think utilities and even some of our state members didn't realize how long it might take to get the money. You know, what usually happens is that money, the federal money, becomes available in early November. This year is different. We've tried to highlight it's not only different because of the shutdown, it's also different because the administrative staff has been fired. So the people that think through how to get the money out and how to move it quickly aren't there anymore. So these are delays that are hard to quantify. Wow. So will funds become available in early December, middle December, early January? There's a lot of uncertainty that's been thrown into the system, in part because of the Trump administration's decision to just fire people. This is the price of firing people.
Mark Wolf is executive director of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. They work with state directors of the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. Thanks for your work, Mark, and we'd love to check in with you in a couple weeks to find out where we're at.
Okay, be glad to. Thank you.
We're still joined today by Lindsay Allen, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and Health Economist and Policy Researcher at Northwestern. Lindsay, I just wonder, as a health economist and a policy researcher, there's so much here. I mean, from heat to health to food to trying to get your kids into Head Start, how are you wrapping your head around that? I mean, where do you think this conversation needs to go from here?
So I'm not wrapping my head around it. That's the short answer. I don't think any of us can. This is the first time that we have seen an attack on working class and low income families of this scale. And it is, I think what we can do is take a step back rather than thinking, you know, let's go hard on SNAP right now, or let's go hard on healthcare right now. We need to take a step back and understand what this messaging is from the administration and what direction the United States is really headed in. I am concerned that the lack of action that we're seeing from USDA might be signaling a future where the government says, sorry, we need to stay out of this for other areas. I do think, though, that one silver lining could be that the Democrats there is some intentionality here. So there's intentionality around waiting until people actually view in the next couple of months, actually see how much their healthcare premiums are going to go up, and they actually start feeling the effects of the head starts and the heating, and especially heading into the holidays and over winter. And so what the Democrats are hoping for is that it does get so bad that it forces the Republicans' hand. So we don't just want a continuing resolution. We don't just want a clean bill added in. We want to make sure that we're actually working toward transformational change here. So one tiny, tiny glimmer of hope in this, you know, perfect storm is that often in the United States, we only see action happening when people feel the consequences of it for themselves. So as we're going to start seeing a lot of those consequences roll out in the next few days and then the next month or two, we might just be able to end this gridlock in Congress.
Hmm. Well, to your point, I was searching that covered California. The lowest healthcare plan that I could find is $755 a month. And that's for very low coverage. Paul, your organization, the Western Regional Advocacy Project, really dives deep. And you take this all the way back to the Reagan administration. It's like, we got here. This is a long plan. So given that, and given how unprecedented this all is, what are your thoughts on the way out of this?
When people were talking before about, you know, restaurants are providing, you know, free meals and food banks are gearing up and like the community of people are actually really freaking decent people. And what happens is, like, we tend to talk about it in a silo where it's just about SNAP or it's just about access to education or it's just about heating bills. But the big fascist bill that just passed, H.R. 1, it's all of them. Like, it, you know, and so we're trying to learn from the past with welfare reform. What did we see happen then? Because that'll tell us what we're going to see now. It's the same people in the same programs, not the same individuals, the same communities that were being attacked. Same with Hope 6 and same with the Reagan revolution. Tax breaks went up, wealthy people got wealthier, and poor people got put out in the street. And that's the thing about how we misidentify homelessness. Homelessness is an overview of a society that's lacking in justice. It's all different groups of people. We're not monolithic by any stretch. So for some of us, it's like, yeah, we've seen this coming for a while, and we're trying to build community mutual aid and community support. And you know, if I got a dollar, you got a quarter, or you got 50 cents. Like we have to have that mindset to survive what's coming our way. We have to hide community members from the militarization that is coming our way. And I really encourage people to look at how the governance structures worked in other fascist countries, because this is a playbook. We're seeing this identical. Why is our Department of Defense setting up rapid response units to go into cities at a moment's notice? That should scare the hell out of all of us. And it's directly connected to what they know the impact of the big fascist bill is going to be. It's people are going to die. We're going to see people needlessly dying, because just like the federal government didn't care about the 90,000 kids that have died after the USAID cuts, and they burned the stuff up instead of giving it out to people. So we need to connect these dots, support each other, build strong communities, and help out a brother.
And to your point, Paul, for people, because there's so much going on, the Washington Post has a piece this morning, Pentagon readying thousands of guard, quote, reaction forces as U.S. mission widens. Up to 23,000 service members are being readied and trained for civil unrest mission across U.S. cities. There's so much to follow here, and we'll do a show about this soon. A couple people have been waiting patiently. We only have 2 minutes left, but let's hear from a few more listeners. Fran in San Francisco. Sorry, Fran. Thank you for holding.
Hi. I want to put in one positive thing in all of this horror.
Thank you.
That if I don't have a computer, so I'm going to have to be one of the people who has a way to get the the card. I hope that that information will come. I think people should share if they go to the supermarkets and they see people who are poor or struggling or outside begging for food. If they have extra money, they should just give them something to eat. It would be, you know, a little helpful. And the question is whether we can still use our EBT cards now. This is, I think it's a controversy. Some say we can use what's on the card now, you know, like before, after November 1st, that it would be accepted. And I also heard that it's up in the air that we're not sure. Does okay. anybody know that?
Yeah, thank you so much, Fran. Andrew, do you know, as long as there's funds on the card, it can be used, right?
Yes, that's correct. But as the caller pointed out, there's a really heavy misinformation on this. So I want your listeners to be clear that if you have a balance, right, we know a lot of families are running out, but the cards will continue to work. And for households that are also accessing other benefits like CalWORKs Cash Aid, the November cash assistance is going to continue. It's just the food assistance that's being delayed, but the cards will work. They are not being shut down. That is a false rumor, but it's a really bad rumor.
Mm. Okay, so spread the word, Fran, and I'm going to put a call in to Lurie's office to find out how people without computers and those who do not want to use QR codes can get their SNAP benefits for next month, and hopefully we can bring you that information tomorrow. So thank you for calling in. Again, if you are in need of assistance and you're in California, you can call 211 to be connected to resources. The city of San Francisco is going to cover SNAP payments for the month of November, and you're going to be receiving a piece of mail next week with a QR code, and you can either put money on your card or you can get a gift card. But a lot of people are concerned who do not use computers, and we just read from CBS that the mayor's office is coming up with alternatives. We will try to get an answer and then bring that information to you in the coming days. There are also a number of restaurants in the Bay Area and Northern California that are offering free and discounted meals. You can find resources at KALW.org, click news, and your call. Paul Bowden is executive director of the Western Regional Advocacy Project. Andrew Shane is managing director of public policy for End Child Poverty California. Lindsay Allen is assistant professor of emergency medicine and a health economist and policy researcher at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Lindsay, Andrew, and Paul, thank you for your work and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you. We will continue to follow this issue. If you have any resources you'd like to share with us, please email yourcall@kalw.org. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.